Today's daf in Masechet Chulin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Kuf Beit, and we're still on the bottom of Kuf Aleph Amud Beit. Tana Rabbana, we had a machlokas about whether a Gid HaNashe is Chal. Whether a Gid HaNashe is Chal on the time B'nai Yisrael were called B'nai Nayach, or was it only on B'nai Yisrael at Har Sinai? Well, it turns out that we've got something in the equivalent about Eiver Min HaChai. So, the Chachomim say, Eiver Min HaChai, that is something that is an Isser on all Behemot and Chayot and Ofot, whether they're kosher or not kosher, it makes no difference. So says Rabbi Yehuda, our very own Rabbi Yehuda, who suggested the same idea about the Gid HaNashe. And so says Rabbi Elazar. But the Chachamim say, as they do here, Eino noeg ela b'tahorin, it's only kosher animals that are us. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, this, actually, Boshitot, are going to analyze the same pasuk as their source text. Shnei Mikra Echad Dorsh. What is the pasuk that tells us about Eiver Min HaChai? Rak chazak levilti echo hadam, ki hadam hu benefesh, velo tochal hanefesh im habasar. That might sound very strangely familiar to you, being as we've just laid these psukim. So now how do we understand that pasuk? Don't eat the nefesh, meaning the living soul, the life, together with the flesh itself. So Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Elazar Savre, what that means is that if you are mitzuveh al damo, you are mitzuveh al evarav. Because look, it said at the beginning of the pasuk, blood is the life. Okay, so if you're usher on the blood of the species, then you're also on the continuation, which is veloto chala nefesh im habasar. And if the life, the literal life, is there in these things, then don't eat that meat when it's still alive. So we view it in two different ways. The dam is one issue, which is the life force that's in it. And then there's the actual life, and the Torah is answering both of them and comparing one to the other. If there's an Isser of Dam, then there's an Isser of Eiver Min HaChai. If there's no Isser of Dam, there's no Isser of Eiver Min HaChai. And that means, Kol she'ata mitzuveh al damo, ata mitzuveh al averav. Okay, if the Torah made that hekesh, then I need to let you know that we have a special pasuk that the Tmeim, which we learn when we get to Kritut Bezrat Hashem soon, that all the mammals, for sure, and we'll talk about other type of things, but fish and chagavim and shratzim are not included, but all of the mammals are included in the Isser of Dam. And therefore, since you're mechuyev on Dam, we're going to talk about birds in a moment, since you're mechuyev on their Dam, you are mitzvah on Eiver Min HaChai. So, if it's kosher or not kosher is irrelevant because there's an Isser Dam on all types of animals, kosher or non-kosher. But the Rabbanan say, no, it's not a hekesh to the Dam. The way to read the pasuk is, it's clearly telling me, Lo tochal hanefesh im habasar. Now, what does that mean? It means that if it is not something that's alive, then I would be able to eat it. You can't eat it with the nefesh, but you can eat it on its own by shechting it and so on, right? That's what it's saying. So you can eat the basar, but you can't eat the nefesh im habasar. You could just eat the basar. Okay, so what does that mean? If this is a kind of species that you would be able to eat the basar, then you cannot eat it as Eiver Min HaChai. So kol shebisaro mutar ata mitzuveh al averav, and you will not be allowed to eat Eiver Min HaChai. But if the buser itself anyway would never be mutter no matter what you do, then there's no additional point of lo tochal hanefesh ima basar, because you couldn't eat the buser anyway. And therefore, iata mitzuveh aleverav, and it's very clear in the pasuk, this is not a hekesh, it's telling me directly what it is that Avraham and Achai is challah. Now, what bothers me about all of this is that according to Rabbi Yehuda, why do we need this pasuk? We had the same Rabbi Yehuda, and he said, anything that was chal at the time of B'nai Noach is more chamur. Are we all agreed that one of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach is Avraham and Achai? Yes. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, Avraham and Achai is more chamur, and therefore it should be chal on the Yisr of Tuma. It's the same argument that Rabbi Yehuda used in order to make a Behema Tumea have a Gid Anasha, that it's an Isser Chomor, and therefore it would be Chal on the Isser of Tuma. So the same thing is true over here. It's true, it's pig, and pig is Tameh, but this is a more Chomor Isser because it was Shekein Noheg Bivnei Noach. So therefore, according to Rabbi Yehuda, why do we need this extra pasuk, lo malikra? We should simply say, the Isser of Avraham and Achai should be Chal on an Isser Tuma, Shekein Isseron Noheg Bivnei Noach. The same reason that we said Avraham and Achai is chal. The same reason that we said Avraham and Achai is chal on Kadesh at the beginning of the Perek. It's because, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's an Isser Chomer. It's as simple as that. So what's all this jazzy new pusik that you're bringing to justify Rabbi Yehuda? You know what? You're right. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't use this pusik for that. But remember that Rabbi Elazar here agrees with Rabbi Yehuda that Avraham and Achai is chal on non-kosher animals. And Rabbi Elazar, well, he doesn't hold of this idea of Rabbi Yehuda that anything that was chal bivnei Noach is more chamur. So we needed to figure out how does he know that it would be chal even on an animal that's not kosher. So for him, we brought the pasuk to teach you that it's because the dam is osir, also Avraham and Achai is osir. But Rabbi Yehuda is looking back and saying, I don't know what these guys are going nuts trying to figure out why it's true. It's obvious that it's true because it's an Isser Chomer. And in fact, Tanya Nami Hoki, I'm going to show you that Rabbi Yochanan was absolutely correct, and that the machlokas between Rabbi Elazar and the Chachomim revolves around this pasuk. Tanya Nami Hoki. Avraham and Achai noheg bivehema chaya ve'of bein tmea bein torah shenemar rak chazak levilti achol adam, which means kol shatam mitzuveh al damo al tochal nefesh ima basara tam mitzuveh al avarav bekol she'ia tam mitzuveh al damo I atam mitzuveh al averav divrei Rabbi Elazar. So over here we see clearly it's Rabbi Elazar who darshens this pasuk exactly as Rabbi Yochanan said he did. And here the Chachamim say the same thing again that Rabbi Yochanan pointed out. Whereas the Chachamim say, no, it's inu noeg ela betori. Read the pasuk. It says, lo tochal nefesh ima basar. Don't eat the nefesh with the basar, just eat the plain basar. Well, I mean, if it's a pig, how can you eat the plain basar? So therefore, kosher b'saro mutar, if the animal's flesh is kosher, so then you're not allowed to eat it with the nefesh, and therefore, atam mitzuveh alei varav, it's going to be an iser of Avraham and Achai. But kosher ein b'saro mutar, ein atam mitzuveh alei varav. If you wouldn't be able to eat the buser, so what's the point of telling me don't eat the buser with the nefesh? I can't eat this buser at all. That's the way that Rabbi Yochanan had brilliantly explained the machlokas, and he, sure enough, it's a brayta. Now, all of a sudden, we discover that there's a totally new shita, Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says, Eiver min Achai does not apply to Ofot. Eiver min Achai does not apply to Chayot, even if they're kosher. They only applies to Behema, Torah, Bilvat. It's much more limiting. And how do we know this? Well, look, it was either Rabbi Bar Shmuel who said in the name of Rav Chista, who was quoting Rabbi Yosef, but it might have been Rabbi Bar Shila, who said it in the name of Rav Chisda was quoting Rav Yosef. Or it might have been Rabbi Bar Shimi. It was definitely some rabbi who was quoting Rav Chisda that quoted Rav Yosef. But I'm not sure whether it was Shmuel, Sheila, or Shimi. But it was one of those rabbis. And what Rav Yosef had actually said was, you know where Rabbi Meir gets this from? Because, look, the pasuk that introduces the entire perek essentially is Ki yirchak mimcha hamakom asher yivchar Hashem Elokecha latsum shmo sham. Sound familiar? Yes, indeedy. V'zavachta mibikorecha umitzonecha asher natan Adonai lecha kasher tzivitach v'achalta b'sharecha b'chol avat nafshecha. That is the introduction to the entire parsha. Then it says in the next part, Lo tochal ha-nefeshim ha-basar. So then that means, says Rabbi Meir, we're introducing this with the words, Mibekorcha mitzonecha. Last I heard, those are only kosher behemoths. Bokar vitzon. So then that means bovines and sheep. It does not include chayot, and certainly does not include ofot. So the Torah said, this new idea of Lo tochal ha-nefeshim ha-basar is part of the introduction of the concepts of Bokar and so on. Omer of Gidol Omar Rav. This whole machlokas about the question of non-kosher things being included in Avraham and Achai, that is, of course, only a reference to Jews. But if one is not Jewish, as far as a Ben Noach is concerned, they retain the original description of Avraham and Achai as it was at the time that the mitzvah was given. And then Divrei HaKol, Muzhar, Al HaTmeim, Kitahorim, for sure they are usher because the original mitzvah of Ben Noach was not to eat any animal at all. So everyone would agree for Ben Noach, all of the things that are edible by them are usher in Avraham and Achai. And Tanya Nami Achi, Avraham and Achai, Ben Noach Muzhar Alav, Alatmeim Ketorim. It's the Yisrael that we have the Shita, that Yisrael is only Muzhar Alatorim Bilvad, because this pasuk that we just read is limiting it to those things that you'd be allowed to eat the basar. That was the Shita of the Chachamim. And there's others who say not tahorin, but rather tahora. Why? Because be'ema tahora. That would be Rabbi Meir Shita. He holds eino muzor mel ala tahora, ala be'ema tahora, and not ala tahorim, which would include even birds and chayot, right? So I don't want to use the Lashon Rabbim if I'm going like Rabbi Meir. Where others have the girsa, tahorim, and that would be going according to Rabbanan, that includes all non-kosher species, whether they're animals that are the specifically the bovine and the sheep, or whether it's any other type of animal, including the chayot, or whether it is a bird. So that would be the Rabbanan. Then we would use a different word. Now I want to bring you another raya that everybody agrees that a Ben Noach is definitely usher, even on things that are not kosher. Amar Reb Shezibi, Afanan Nami Tanina. It seems very clear from the Mishnah in Tyrus. You remember that was our great fun Mishnah that basically covered almost the entire Perek, and it was all about Nivlas Ov Tahor, Nivlas Ov Tamei, right at the beginning of Tyrus, and we were contrasting all those strange halachas about how it's Metame in the Beit HaBliyah, and whether there's any Tumah in a Nivlas Ov Tamei at all, and so on and so forth. So if you take a look at that first Perek in Tyrus, so one of the Mishnayos after, remember the first part of the Masechet has Yud Gimel Dvarim Nemru B'Nivlas Ov Tahor. Right? We list 13 different unique dinim. And then we move on to a Nivlas Ov Tameh. So that this is what we're quoting now. If you ate, this is talking about Nivlas Ov Tameh. If you ate Ochal Ever Min Hachai Mimena, you ate a non-kosher Evrim and Achai, Eino Sofeg et Arbaim, you're not Chai of Malkus. Okay, so then it is saying, clearly like the Chachamim, a Ben Yisrael is only Osran Evrach Min Achai on kosher species. But if it's not kosher, you're not going to get a Malkus because there's no Isser of Eimim Min Achai. And then it says the weirdest thing, the Ein Shechita Metaharata. And if you shecht a non-kosher bird, you can't eat it. Huh? What kind of crazy halacha is that? What are we talking about over here? That what, a Jew who shechts a non-kosher bird is not allowed to eat it? Oh, man. Pshita, the Ein Shechita Metaharata. I think any two-year-old would know that if you shecht an owl, it doesn't suddenly become kosher. So what does that mean? Shechting it is not going to embarrass it. Ah. Brilliant. The Mishnah is talking about a Ben Noach. So what it's saying is, let's say somebody shechts an owl. Now, the Ben Noach comes along and he eats that owl. Is he over on Avram and Achai if the owl is still moving? Or do we say, since the act of Shechita is considered to be the unequivocal end of the life of the animal, so the Shechita of the owl takes off the Isser of Avram and Achai. Comes along the Mishnah to say that only the Shechita on something that is kosher is its unequivocal end of Avram and Achai. But if there's no din of Shechita on a non-kosher animal, then there's no din of Shechita even for a goy. If somebody shechts it for him, it's still not going to be Shechita. So El Alav Bivnei Noach. So then that means that if it's still moving, it's still living. And he would still be usher to eat the Avram and Achai. So that proves very clearly. We're talking about a Ben Noach, as we just proved. And it says that it remains usher, even if it was shechted. So the Mishnah is taking for granted that if there's a Ben Noach, and it is a non-kosher thing, it doesn't matter. It's still 100% usher as Avram and Achai. That's Uriah. Ramani Bar Patish, he started an analysis of this Mishnah in a different way. He comes up with the same idea, but he starts it as a contradiction. So he asks the Reisha to the Seifa, because basically the original part of the Mishnah says you don't get Malkus on the Avram and Achai of the bird that was not kosher, of the Nivlas of Tomei. And then it starts talking about the Shechita, and it says, well, you're still Chayev on Avram and Achai. Make up your mind. You said you're not Chayev at all on Avram and Achai on an owl. And then you say, but if you shech the owl, then you are over on Avram and Achai. I don't understand what's going on. And he said, oh, so obviously, the Reisha was talking about a Yisrael, and there's no din, according to the Chachamim, of Avram and Achai on a non-kosher bird. And the Seifa is referring to Ben Noach, where there is an Isser of Avram and Achai. Fine. Now, another thing that Rav said about Avram and Achai is that an Avram and Achai is only Chayev if you eat a Kizayas of it. Why? Because it says Lo Tochal. The Lashon of Lo Tochal is always defined La Halacha as the achila of a kizayit. And therefore, you'd have to eat the entire kizayit. Motzi v'vamra. I don't understand. Ochal evra min achai mimena. If you eat the evra min achai from that same Mishnah in Tyrus, if you eat an evra min achai, the Mishnah said, eino sofeg et arbaim, and ein shechita metaharata. But none of this makes sense, because if Rav would be right and you really have to eat a kizayit, so then the Mishnah would be saying that he ate a kizayit of a non-kosher bird, lest I heard a Jew who eats a kizayit of a Safeway market chicken is chayev for eating a non-kosher chicken. So how are you telling me that he doesn't get Malkus? Why would he not get Malkus on eating a non-kosher bird? See, until now...
In Muncie, it's all right.
But we're not talking about Muncie. This Mishnah wasn't said in Muncie. And therefore, why don't we, how could the Mishnah say that you're not chayav a kizayit? Typically, if you're not chayav malchus, typically docho kizayit of an ov tame. Since Rav says you have to eat a kizayit, and it's talking about a kizayit, and nonetheless it's saying that you're potter, that doesn't make any sense. Answers the Gemara. We're going to see later on a standard answer from Rav Nachman about understanding the cases. And that is, I have to give you a little bit of a hakdama here, but first let me tell you what Rav Nachman always says. The shear of a kizayit on Avram and Achai is actually a shear of a kizayit of what the Avra is consists of. Now, an Avram and Achai does not need a kizayit of Bosar, but it does need a kizayit in total. The total of that kizayit would include not only the meat of that Avra, it would include the bones of that Avra. It would include the gidim, so that any nerves, any blood vessels, and any sinews at all would all be included in that kizayit. But when you eat a chicken that's not kosher, the only thing that counts towards the iser of the of tameh is meat. And therefore, it's very simple. The Mishnah is talking about where there was no kizayis of basar, but where there was a kizayis in toto, and that's what it's saying. If you ate the kizayit of the entire Aver, which had the bird been a kosher bird, you would have been chayev for Avram and Achai. If the bird's a non-kosher bird, you're not chayev on Avram and Achai, and you did not eat a kizayis of basar of treif chicken, and therefore you're not chayev on the chicken either, and you're not chayev anything. That would be essentially the point. So the way Rav Nachman puts this is that you've got an aver with a tiny little bit of meat, b'mashu basar, but you've got enough gidim and atzamot to bring it up to one kizayit between all of it. So achinami, that's what we're referring to in the Mishnah and Tyres, a mashu basar, not enough to be mechayim yumalkas for treifa bird, but plenty of gidim v'atzamot that bring you to be chayev, if it had been a kosher bird, would have brought you to the chiyev of Aver min Achai. That's the point. And this is fundamental in understanding the entire sugya. Otherwise, nothing is going to make sense. So let's take a look at what actually this is all about. I'm going to give you a peek for 1 minute into the upcoming daf. There are two separate issurim. There's an issur called Avram min Achai, and there's an issur called Basar min Achai. The sources of these two separate issurim is a machlokes on Amud Beis. It may well be that there are two sources in the pasuk itself that we've been using. Lo tochal ha-nefesh im ha-basar, as we're going to see later on, might refer to basar of basar min achai, or it might be referring to an Avram min achai, or it might be a completely separate iser. There's an iser of Avram min achai, and then remember our concept of basar b'sadeh trifa means anything that is no longer supported by its mechitza, so it's no longer in an environment. And in this case, it would be an organic environment, which allows it to live, is by definition treifa. Fine. That we'll see on Amud Beis where we get the idea that there's a separate iser of basar min achai. Now, the din of basar min achai requires an achila v'kizayis basar. But the din of aver min achai requires only an achila of a total of a kizayis between the basar and the gidim and the atzomets. Now, precisely what is called an aver is a little bit complex, because let me ask you something. Is a liver an aver min achai, or is it a basar min achai? A liver does not have any atzamot. And you said you define an aver as an organ that includes basar, atzamot, and gidim. So the Rambam says beferish that essentially, if you take out an organ or an aver, that is to say an organ or a limb, they're all considered to be aver min achai. It doesn't matter whether you're talking about a liver or a spleen that doesn't have any of these parts. That is a full aver, and it's an aver min hachai. But if you take off meat from that, take off meat from the animal directly, that's not called an aver min hachai. That is called basar min hachai. So once you take off an aver min hachai, you are going to be chayev for eating a kezayit of that aver min hachai. You don't have to eat the entire thing in order for it to be called the aver. So that is the way the Rambam understands the differences. There are differences among the Rishonim. Let's take the Rambam's approach and keep things very straightforward. So now the question is, Rav is claiming that you need to eat an entire kezayit, not of meat, but of the aver, in order to be chayev. Barnea is trying now to push us into eating poison. It wasn't bad enough that we're supposed to be drinking garbage and all kinds of magical waters inside of these weird kind of genie things. Now he's pushing sugar. Good Lord.
Dates and cashews.
Last I heard, dates are pure sugar with an actual index. Good Lord, you don't want to look up the glycemic index of dates. But enjoy yourself. Anybody that's with Barnea, please get ready to pick him up off of the ground. So
good
now,
good sugar.
Now, Tashma. The Amar Rav. Let's take a look. Rav says himself something that completely contradicts Rav. Ochal tzipor torah b'chayeha. Suck. Are you trying to talk? Could you please mute yourself? Ochal tzipor tahorah b'chayeha. You eat an entire kosher bird. So then, if it's the entire thing, even if it would be a kosher, you would be over on aver min hachai, because each piece of this is a separate aver. But wait a minute. You said kosher. What do you mean kosher? I thought you said you're only chayiv if you eat a kezayis. Make up your mind. And if you eat this kosher bird when it was dead, then it's not aver min hachai. That's an iser nevela. And a nevela is only a shear of a kezayit. If it's a non-kosher bird, then it doesn't matter whether it's alive or dead. Then you would be chayiv on birya, because the entire bird, if you eat the entire bird, so you are over on a species that the Torah says is not kosher. It's the same as eating an ant. If you eat an ant, then you're chayev for a birya. So same thing is true. What's the difference between an ant and a non-kosher bird? So basically, you've got three different shiurim. You have a din of kosher in the event that it's aver min hachai, which is a contradiction, the fairish to what Rav said before. You have a din of a kezayit, if it's a nevela. And then you have the other halacha of a birya, if you eat the entire organism that's usher to eat. So how does Rav explain the fact that you can eat less than a kezayit? Like we said a minute ago, it's talking about you've got a kezayit. You don't have a kezayit of meat, but you've got a kezayit of mashu, and then you've got a lot of gidin v'atzamot that make it a kezayit. Okay, look at this bright. You take a living tzipa that does not have a kezayit, and you eat the whole bird. I can't believe I ate the whole thing. But anyway, this guy eats the whole bird. Rebbe says you're putter. There's no aver min hachai. What? A living bird. It's got 10 different aver min hachais. What are you talking about? Well, Rebbe holds that aver min hachai means exactly what it says, a broken piece off of something that was alive. But eating the entire live organism is not called an aver min hachai. So according to Rebbe, if you eat it whole, you're potter. Rebbe Elazar ben Rebbe Shimon says, you're chayev. And Rebbe Elazar ben Rebbe Shimon even yells, what? How could Rebbe say that you're not chayev kal v'chomer? If you would just have eaten its leg, you would have been chayev aver min hachai. If you eat the whole bird, you also ate the leg, didn't you? So how could you not be chayev for aver min hachai if you eat the whole thing? Al kula lo kosher kein? Now, if you first kill the bird, you choke the bird to death and then you eat it. So then everybody is moda that that's an avela and you have to eat a kezayit. It's not a birya if it's not alive. That was one of the rules that we learned in the Shulchan Aruch yesterday. So then, for sure, you would need a kezayit. Now, note that the machlokas here between Rebbe and Rebbe Elazar and Rebbe Shimon is only as regards one particular issue. Whether a bird, when it's whole, is not called an aver. That's the only machlokas, nothing else. So, ad kam lo pligei, ela demar sava, Rebbe Elazar and Rebbe Shimon clearly holds, the bird is still called an organism that is functional because of these separate organs, right? So that means it's behema is bechayeha le'evorim omedes. It's still, it's true that functional organisms have a tendency to keep themselves together. But I mean, if you do a reductionist analysis of what's going on, there's a lot of different parts that have to fit together. So why isn't each one of those parts essentially considered to be an aver? Whereas Rebbe says, no, a living organism is never viewed as a combination of parts. It is viewed holistically. And the idea of the holistic vision is ipso facto the antithesis of talking about an Avram and a Chai. That's the whole point, for heaven's sake, says Rebbe. If you're looking at an organism, how could it be called an Aver? The point the Torah is making is don't break up an organism into pieces and then eat a piece of it. That's the problem. But over here, I'm not breaking up the organism. So I'm eating a bird without doing shechita and so on. But that doesn't mean I'm eating Avram and Achai, does it? But that's the question. Do we look at it holistically or not? But everybody agrees that if you would take off one single piece off of that bird, then Rebbe would say you're chayev. How could you be chayev? Isn't there a need for a kezayit? You would say it was asur me'evrim and achai, so apparently you don't need a kezayit, because we said that we were talking about a bird that doesn't have a kezayit. Not up, sipor vein bo kezayit. So now, that's clearly everybody disagrees with Rav. What is he talking about? You don't need a kezayit. It says so beferish over here. The only machlokas is whether it's holistic or not. And here is where Reb Nachman had said his original din. Omer Reb Nachman, you have your right. You don't have a kezias of basar. You only have a mashal of basar. But you've got tons of ginim v'atzomot, besach hakol, you've got little flesh, but lots of aver. What? You're telling me in an entire bird, this bird has so little flesh that if you eat the entire bird, you will not get one kezayit. But in one aver of this bird, you will get a kezayit of mashu basar with gidim vatsamas. I never saw a bird like that. That is a very weird bird. The whole bird doesn't have a kezayit of basar, and it still has that much bone that one aver is enough. I never heard of such a bird. That, says Reb Sharvia, you have not become, or you haven't properly finish your ornithology courses. Of course there's such a bird. Have you never met a kelanita? A kelanita? How could it be a kelanita? It says in the end that if you choked a bird and you eat it, then it would be chayev for of to a nivnivlasa of, and you'd be chayev for a kizayit. But a kelanita is not a kosher bird. And Rav said that if it's a non-kosher bird, we just read what he said. It's a shear of the bird, whatever it is. It's a birya. I don't care how big it is. So why does it say over here, you need to eat a kezayit? I don't mean a kalanita. Stop taking me so literally. I mean, have you never met a kalanita? So what about meeting a kosher equivalent to a kalanita? That's what I meant. So kein kalanita, something that has that same body structure. That was the point. We're almost finished. Well, maybe we'll cut it here and we'll be able to incorporate this next piece into the coming daf. So, Baruch Hashem, we have learned amazing dinim today about the sugya of Avram and Achai, shiur of Avram and Achai, difference between Avram and Achai and Bosu ben Achai, the tziruf of what defines an Avram and the shiur for Avram, which is not a shiur of Bosu, but a combinatory shiur of Bosu, even Mashu, and Gidim v'Atzamot, the fascinating issue as well about the difference between Avram and Achai for a non-Jew and an Avram and Achai for a Jew, which really reminded us of that amazing Mishnah back in Masechet Taharot that talked about shechita of non-kosher things and whether it would have an impact on the status of Avram and Achai.
We discovered was that we had a machlokas between Rebbe and Rebbe Elazar about whether a whole bird would be called Avram and Achai. So according to Rebbe, a behema b'chaya is not considered to be omedet le'evori, and therefore, it's by definition a holistic organism. And the entire point of Avram and Achai is the fact that this is something that's taken from that which was holistic. And therefore, how can you be chayav on Avram and Achai on something that's a functioning organism as a whole? Whereas Rabbi Lazar says, but that behema is indeed temporarily a functioning organism, but I mean, if humans are viewing it as food, so then it's going to be cut up, and therefore there's no reason to view it as a permanent holistic structure. And because of that, there would be Avram and Achai even on a completely functioning organism. The case over there was if you ate an entire bird. So today, Rava wants to just point out that we have an interesting situation over here, because it's possible that the determination of this idea of behema b'chaya le'evarim omedet or not le'evarim omedet is similar to the dinim that we have about the use of humans. Where do we have such dinim? Legabe tumah v'tairah. The human determination that X is a food and he intends to eat it allows X to be yoreh to a situation where it's mekabel tumah, setting a shur of kalim, any type of instrument that a human is going to be using. So it's specifically the way that it is perceived and planned in human terms that enters into the halachic definition of whether something is a kli, something is eichlin, and so on. This is, by the way, it's a very, very fascinating study in and of itself, if you think about it, because it's the only place where the actual human determination, remember, the idea of Taharos in general, is that it is called what Seder? Da'at, right? Chochmat v'da'at. So that means that up front, we understand that the connection to humanity is actually determinant of what the dinim are, which is really, because of that, we have so many special dinim about Hesach HaDas and so on in there. And that means that the question of how far elements that are not physically descriptive, but are da'at descriptive, how far do they enter into the realm of halakha? So would we perhaps say that the determination of whether this bird is Avram and Achai or not is really dependent on the way that a human being looks at it? So if somebody is planning on eating this delicious bird piece by piece while it's alive, so then perhaps that itself would turn it into Avram and Achai. And this is Rava's point. If you believe in Timtzel Omar, if you would find out that Rebbe would agree that just like by the dinam of Tumah V'Tairah, the machshava determines whether something is an eichlin, that enters into realms that are not functions directly of the dinim of Seder Taharot, not necessarily functions of Da'at, because here we're talking about chulin and the elements of achila. Nonetheless, it may well be that that concept carries over here too. And if Rebbe would hold that, so then you'd have a very interesting situation, because then if there was a particular individual who was chisheva ochla aver aver, he intended to eat this bird piece by piece, And in the end, he looks at it and says, you know what? It's so small, I'll just eat the whole thing up. And he pops it into his mouth. So in that case, if he was Ochrapua, Rebbe would agree with Rebbe Rosser that he's Chayiv. Why? Because this person had already taken apart in his mind the holistic organism that prevented Evri Min HaChai from being Chal, according to Rebbe. To which Abaye said, does that make sense? There's a concept of Mi'ika Mide. We have an item over here. It's just a physical item. It's defined by the dinim of kashrut, which include, of course, evri min hachai. And for one individual, it's evri min hachai, and for another individual, it's not evri min hachai, depending on how you look at it. Does the Torah give such things that we will define the kashrut status of a thing in terms of how you look at it? That seems very strange to me. Says Rav, I don't know what's so strange. Zelafi Machshavtov is Zelafi Machshavtov. I mean, we find that those halachas are true of Rabbi Tum of the Tyra. Why not here? Each one would be in accordance with the particular world that he lives in. And in this world of his mind and his thought, this is in fact Evri Min HaChai. And the truth is, says Rav, the opposite would also be true. If Rav Elazar would agree that you can actually, now remember, Rebbe Elazar holds, we don't look at a living organism as holistic. It's omedet le'evarim, and it's just as likely for humans to take it and eat it piece by piece. But if, in fact, it should turn out that Rebbe Elazar would have found that Rebbe Elazar Berb Shimon would hold that machshevet ochlim shmo'a machshava, and he would hold what I just said, Rebbe would hold, that you can determine by your own thought and your own dad the status of foodstuff, not only legabi tumavetaira, but also legabi dinim of israchila. So then in the opposite case, if you had a person who had decided that he's going to eat this thing as a dead item, in which case it's no longer considered to be a living holistic organism, if assuming that his thought could do that, and in the end he eats it while it's alive, so then you'd have a curious situation, because in that case, he would have created a situation where it would be putter, even though he ate it while it was alive. Why? Because it's holistic, and he agrees that if it's holistic, it's not an Evri Min HaChai. And again, Abaye said, that is so weird. Tell me, another person would have eaten this thing, he would be chayv. But if I eat this thing, so then my putter, like, it's not weird. Says Rava, I don't see why it's weird. I've told you before. Basically, if machshava is koveya, and we know that it's koveya when we're talking about this Seder and Da'at, so then that means you'd have to accept something that is normally not part of our considerations of physical reality, you'd have to consider it even in terms of dinim of achila. Fascinating idea. Omer Rabbi Yochanan, I want to present to you, we've been talking about these two different Yisroel, Evri Min HaChai and Basar Min HaChai. We never really got down to understanding what the mokar of all of these chiyuvim are. And the truth is we spoke about it earlier, and we pointed out that it's really a machloket about whether there's a specific issue called Basar Min HaChai, or whether that is just a function of the dinam of treva. And since the environment, the organic environment of this particular thing, the entire organic environment is an environment of, obviously, functional life, so then the question is, that is a treifa by definition. If you take a piece out of that environment and it's no longer incorporated within actual living, so then it's a treifa. So that's a possibility. And Rabbi Yochanan says, actually, that's the makar. So where it says, lo tochal ha-nefesh im ha-basar. Lo tochal ha-nefesh means nefesh can be used, as Rashi, to be a reference to also, the aver itself, that is a living thing. So do not eat that life, do not eat a living limb, as long as it actually is living, is what it would be saying. And therefore, that's the din of aver min hachai. Now, what about if you just take off a piece of meat, or you take a meat piece of meat, off of an Eiver Menachai, or off of the Bema directly without its being a complete Eiver. So that would be included in Basar B'Sada Treifalo Tocheo, because you are taking it out of its environment, its supportive environment, and that's exactly what Basar B'Sada Treifa means. Remember, we've got all these crazy things that are included in that Isser. So a fetus that sticks a hand out of the womb is Basar B'Sada Treifa. Why? Because the womb is its environment. So therefore, it's chutz l'mechitzasa. If you have basar of a chatas, that is yotze chutz l'azora, it becomes a treifa because it's chutz l'mechitzato. So whatever its mechitza is, an organic mechitza, a spatial mechitza, whatever you define it as, is going to always be, if it leaves that mechitza, then it would be considered to be basar b'sada treifa. So here, if obviously the environment of a piece of protoplasm is the inside of an organism that provides for its life, the moment that it's taken out of that, it's going to be included in basar b'sada treifa. Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish says, no, I don't believe that's true. I think lo tochal nefesh ima basar includes both things. It includes both Eiver Minachai and Basar Minachai, because this is the Lo Tochlu is the Nefesh, and as we said before, Nefesh can be used to refer to a living limb, and it's also the Basar, and they reflect on each other. If the Basar is alive, or the Nefesh is the Nefesh itself, so that includes both Eiver Minachai and Basar Minachai. Basar basadeh treifa lo tocheu, that is the iser of meat that is treifas. But this has its own iser, and we don't see its taking off of something as being the same thing as out of something. And it's not called a treif. Now, this is fascinating, because if you take a look at the implications of it, it ends up that between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, you have very different combinatory elements. Dr. Barry, okay? You have that very different ways of combining the chiyuv. Because let's imagine that a person would eat a piece of Eiver Menachai and a piece of Basar Menachai, and he was given the hatra'ah from this basar. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, each one of those achilas, and he was given atra from the relevant pasuk, I should have said. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, you're chayav two completely different malchus, because one was the isra of basar b'sada treifa, and the other one was the isra of the lo tochal nefesh ima basar. Those are two completely different laughing, two completely different atraot, and therefore you're chayav two malchiot. But according to Reish Lakish, there's only one Malchus, because there's only one Isser, namely Lo tochal nefesh ima basar, for both of these acts. And on the other way, let's say that you ate Basar min hachai and Basar min hatreifa. So then, according to Reish Lakish, you'd be chayim in two completely different things, because Reish Lakish says there's no connection between Basar basada treifa and the Isser of Basar min hachai. So you'd only be chayiv, according to Rabbi Yochanan, you'd only be chayiv one, because there's actually no connection. If you ate, however, according to Reish Lakish, you ate basar min hatreifa, and you ate basar min hachai, so then you're going to be over onto totally different elements, because of the fact that there's no treifas in the din of basar min hachai. According to Rabbi Yochanan, treifas includes basar min hachai, not eiver min hachai, and therefore you would be chayiv two separate isurim, because you ate the basar. I keep saying that. According to Rabbi Yochanan, you'd be chayiv only one, because treifas includes basar min hachai. Now, how about if you ate eiver min hachai and you also ate basar min hatreifa? There, everybody would agree that Eiver Menachai comes from the pasuk of the Lo tochal nefesh ima basar, and Basar min hatreifa comes from Basar b'sada treifa lo tochelu. So there, both Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish would be moda that you're chayiv two different malchus, because these are two separate lavim, two separate atra'ot, and two separate malchus. So that would be a very practical difference about where it is that you learn the Yisro Basar Menachai from. The only problem is that you think we've gotten away from the sugya of Yisro Chalal Yisro, but you're wrong. We figured out how to get you right back in, and actually, we've got a problem because we find a machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish about this very case that you claim everybody would be moda. Look at this. Achal Eiver min hachai, min hatreif. So here you're eating Eiver min hachai, which comes from the Isser of lo tochal nefesh im habasar. And the animal was also treifa, and that is the Isser of Rosser Basada Trefa. And here, Rabbi Yochanan says, you'd be chai of two separate chayyofim, but Reish Lakish claims you're only chai of one. But I thought, didn't you just say that everybody would be moda, including Reish Lakish, that if you eat Eiver min hachai, that comes from the pasuk of Lo tochal nefesh ima basar. And if you ate Trefa, that comes from the pasuk of Basar Basada Trefa Lo tochelu. And here, it's a machlokas. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, you're chayiv two separate chayivim, but Reish Lakish says, you're only chayiv one. How could you only be chayiv one? How could Eiver min hachai, which comes from Lo tochal nefesh ima basar, be one iser with the iser of treifas? So, I mean, Reish Lakish doesn't work out. Rabbi Yochanan works out fine. Bishlamel Rabbi Yochanan, okay, that's what we said. But according to Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, how do we explain why you're only chayiv one? Omer of Yosef, well, obviously, this has nothing to do with the question of what pasuk you learn it out from. Did you look carefully at the case? The case was you ate Eiver min hachai from a treifa animal. That's not what we were talking about before. What we were talking about before when we said everybody would agree, what we were talking about was very clearly you ate a kezayit from a treifa and you ate another kezayit from Eiver min hachai from an animal that a different animal that wasn't a treifa was Eiver min hachai. Fine. That is true. Everybody agrees those are two separate issuim. But if you're talking about taking an Eiver min hachai from a treifa animal, now what are you involved in? Iser chalal iser. Now that's a whole different can of worms. Because now you have to say the same piece of meat would be both Eiver min hachai and iser treifa in order for you to be able to give him malchus both for lo tochal nefesh ima basar and for basar basada treifa lo tochelu. Well, that creates a problem. Would Isser be Chalal Isser in this case? That's the point. So Amar of Yosef, I mean, obviously, there's two completely different situations here. Lokasha, what we just spoke about was taking an Eiver min hachai from the same animal, which was treif. So now the question is, are both Isserim Chal? The other case we were talking about was two separate pieces and the two separate atraot, and the question was nothing to do with anything that remotely resembles Iser Chalal Iser. It was just a question about what the marker of the Iser is on each one of these pieces, and if they're different, so you're going to be chayiv for each piece. It's very straightforward. And Masha Ein Kein, in this case, now we've got a problem. So if you're talking about Shtei Behemot, yes, and then you're chayiv too. And if you're talking about Behemah Achad, then you've got a machloket.